none of this would be possible. So thanks for anything that you can do for the station. Even a couple bucks a month would be much appreciated. And I'm hoping I got Vinny in here now. Vinny, are you with us?
Oh, yes.
Well, welcome to the show, my friend, and thanks for taking some time to join me. Always a pleasure talking with you. And, well, quite a few things have happened since the last time we had a chat. Vinny, was about 6 weeks ago we had you on, and a lot of things have changed in our world since then. What's going on down in New Zealand that's absolutely driving you crazy? And I want you to talk about your court case today. And also, is Billy KK going to be able to join us today at all?
I have called him several times, but I've had no responses. So you may be joined by him in a moment. We don't know. Yeah, let's just add him to the call preemptively now if you want to, and then we'll bring him in later on. Sure. I'm just sharing a link with him now, sending to his Skype, so that should work for that purpose. All right, so what's been happening in New Zealand? I mean, the big news that really went international was the Posey Parker protest with Kelly J. Keene, I believe her name is, getting basically a bunch of her people assaulted by trans activists who threw tomato juice on her, and it was just an absolutely crazy time in New Zealand, and then this place has just gone to hell. Like basically it's kind of like that scene in American Beauty where kid gets up and he asks his dad, what's new in the world, Dad? And he looks up from his paper and goes, this country is going straight to hell. And that's just basically what it feels like here in New Zealand. And a week after that big incident with Posey Parker, we got sentenced to 5 months prison for Billy TK and 4 months prison for myself for leading a peaceful protest in the middle of the day outside, and for which no COVID was contracted and for which no property was damaged or police officers injured. So it seems very out of whack considering we've got a lot of people in the news who have basically been given home detention for murder, for drive-by shooting and things of that nature, and we do a peaceful protest in the middle of lockdown and we get prison time. It just seems completely out of whack, and the country was kind of shocked by it. Even in the truth movement, Billy and myself are much kind of maligned, as it were, by a lot of the other people here. But even they had to comment on this verdict and how over the top it really was. And this was what we wanted to prove to people when we got arrested. The reason why we got arrested is because there's an old saying, if you want to expose a fascist, you got to make them act like it. And they're acting like it for sure.
Well, you're not alone, Vinny, because anywhere you look in the world right now, we're seeing absolute chaos in any G7 country. It is all the same agenda being played out, just slightly different twists. What's going on in Canada right now, I really am just dumbfounded at the level of criminality that is being exposed on a daily basis to the public in Canada, and yet they still are walking around more concerned about who is winning the hockey game than the absolute destruction of this country. It is in front of your face now. There's absolutely no hiding what this government is trying to do, and yet Canadians still seem to not give a shit about it. And that's probably my biggest pet peeve right now, is the inability of so-called strong men in Canada to stand up against what is going on, because you know and I know, Billy or Vinny, that if this goes on for another couple of years, we are really going to be in a dire situation. So
yeah, well, we're already in that.
The levels,
I was just thinking
the levels
about
of insanity
this.
Are crazy.
Well, is it the levels of insanity or is it the levels of apathy? Because I recently learned, I think, I don't know, maybe 9, 8 months ago or something like that, that I got a liver problem. You know, just my liver just started hurting all of a sudden, like real painful. And so I saw a naturopath, and he starts telling me about liver damage and whatnot, and I start doing a bit of research on it. And what causes liver damage? Any carb, any sugar, any alcohol, any cigarette, any caffeine, right? That's basically it. And what does that encompass? It encompasses pretty much everything everybody eats, drinks, or consumes on a daily basis, right? Right. Now, this causes liver damage. Now, what does that do to the mind? Because what affects the body affects the mind. Well, a very specific response to the mind of liver damage is apathy. And so my newest conspiracy theory is that our entire culture has been predicated on this particular diet and consumption of particular substances specifically to damage the livers of pretty much everybody, and you don't know there's a problem until there's really a problem. And thus, you've got an apathetic population. Now, what can you do to an apathetic population? Anything you want!
What a master plan, eh, Billy? I mean, these guys, they really got it figured out. Feed them this food for 20, 30 years, and we'll bend them over a barrel, and they won't say a thing.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I've got no evidence to support this. I'm just taking a stab in the dark.
Well, it makes sense. It makes sense. It really does. Because what you mentioned, everything you mentioned in that list, Vinny, is very, very detrimental to human beings, to our bodies. And, of course, our bodies, if our bodies are polluted to a point where it is affecting our brain, it only makes sense that that would be part of their agenda. Give them caffeine, give them cigarettes, give them everything they want, give them alcohol, make sure they get lots of acid in their diet, proliferate cancer, which we're seeing just absolutely explode right now around the world. It all makes sense. We're dealing with psychopaths, buddy, and I got to admire their level of perception for how they're going to bend society in the future. Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of like the cults of old, you know, how the origin of the word assassin comes from the word hashishin, because back in the day there was this dude in Syria or something, and he would bring in warriors to his court, and he would lace their food with large amounts of hashish, like biblical amounts of hashish. And then he'd lead them out back into his garden, where he'd have naked women present them with plates of pork. Now, in the time, the people would believe that if they were to ever die, because naked women, hence the burqas, and pork, hence the dietary restrictions, were not allowed in Islam at the time, they believed that they had actually gone to heaven because they were tripping balls on hashish. Now, this guy used their belief against them and said, look, I've just sent you to heaven, what will you do for me? And the person would say, anything you want. And he'd be able to get them to jump off the battlements of his castle, smiling all the way down, knowing that they're going to heaven. They became a very, very frightened and populace around the area. And many of the other lords around the area started to get wind of this, so they sent a great army to solve this problem. And as the army was camped outside the castle, the lord gave them a warning. He said, you can turn your armies around, or you'll be dead by morning. And the general was laughing his head off. He's just, you can't touch me. I've got 50 men in my personal retinue. 14 of them are my first cousins. You can't touch me. The next morning, there was 9 daggers in his pillow around his head. And they promptly left. And ever since then, the legend of the Hashishin has stood. And this is the lesson behind indoctrination, behind drug use, behind the crafting of societies and secret societies, is that once they've got you, they've got you, and you'll do anything because you think what you believe is true. You believe it so blindly that you'll smile all the way to your death. That is the kind of people who are in charge now of everything. They believe things that are completely untrue. They're working for deceivers. And they are going to pay the price. Just like all of us are paying the price for our apathy and our ignorance and our laziness and our cowardice.
Yeah, well, you know what? Very, very shortly, people are going to wake up to what's going on. I honestly believe that. And there's going to be a lot of people that are cursing and swearing at their inability to stand up to what's coming. Because it's going to get to a point here real soon in Canada. I don't know what's going on in New Zealand as far as censorship goes, but we just had one of the most barbaric censorship laws in Canadian history passed through our parliament, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, Vinny. In the next 3 months, 4 months, this government's going to attempt to pass 3 or 4 more legislations through our parliament, which we can't stop in Canada because of the situation we're in with the coalition between the Liberals and the NDP party in Canada. They have 187 seats in our parliament. It's a majority vote, so they basically can do anything they want in Canada, and we have no way of stopping them outside a vote of non-confidence, which we can't get through Parliament because the NDP is shoring up the Liberal Party. What we got going on in Canada right now should never be allowed to happen. We have absolutely no say in what this government's doing. This Bill C-11 had more petition, Vinny, and more backlash, and more just thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of Canadians were screaming at the government, top-notch security people in Canada, all screaming at the government that this was absolute step towards total terrorism in Canada, and yet they just rammed it through without any consideration for what the people were saying in this country. Like I said, the next three pieces, well, they're not going to listen to anything. They're not listening to anything that the public is saying. They are not listening to the public at all in Canada anymore. They're making it quite clear that they're God, they're in control. Shut up, and we'll take care of everything. That's the attitude of the government right now. Go ahead, Vinny.
I mean, do the people of Canada realize that their government has been controlled since the mid-1990s by the People's Republic of China? All right? Do they realize this? Royal Canadian Mounted Police launched an investigation into it, and they found 100% of Canada's ports had triads present in them, and 85% of downtown Vancouver was owned by the Chinese. And the way that they did it was they just gave them passports, Canadian passports. They'd go in, they'd buy up your country, and then just go, hey, it was bought by Canadian citizens, wasn't it? So you didn't notice the infiltration was going on at all. They just sit there raising them kids, telling them to study hard, and then after they finish studying hard, tell them to go to university, get them to study even harder, and then once they graduate, tell them to get a government job. And before you know it, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police's investigation got shut down at the highest levels. That means it was shut down by the Prime Minister's office, which means that at the time, I believe this was 1996 or 98, China already owned Canada's Prime Minister, okay? So, and they still own them today. And who's China working for? They're working for the New World Order. Where's the new UN building going to be? It's going to be in China. What's the world's culture going to be like? The censorship, the track and trace programming and social credit systems that are being pioneered in China for you and for me.
To keep us safe. To keep us safe. Don't forget. It's all to keep us safe. You're absolutely spot on. Man, what's going on in Canada right now, Vinny? I honestly, I don't understand how Canadians, and I do understand why, because of what we just talked about, the brainwashing effect on people, how they've been conditioned to believe things that they absolutely refuse now to not believe. But what's going on here right now, Canada, China has such a stranglehold on this country, and why Canadians can't see that and realize the danger that we're in and where we're going is the social credit systems. You said digital ID is being pushed really hard. You know, after that, they're going to push digital currency. And if we allow them to get to that point, folks, we might as well throw in the towel at that point, Vinny, because they will have complete control over society. And yet this is going on right in front of our faces, and people just refuse to see the danger. I don't understand it. And I'm not a smart guy, Vinny, but I've got this figured out. But in the same mouthful, my friend, I'll tell you that I am now seeing in Canada a lot of people finally really starting to pay attention to what's going on. And I've seen that more so in the last 3 or 4 months with some of the legislation that Trudeau's tried to push through. Of course, he tried to take our hunting rifles away. Well, the government's completely backtracked on that now. They've completely changed their stance on the gun grabs. And people are going, what the heck is going on in our country? With their cover-up, the Chinese interference, what Trudeau just did with that investigation into the Emergencies Act, it is such a joke when all they do is appoint liberals to investigate liberals. It really is a sad state of affairs. And some days I ask myself, Vinny, if we're going to be able to turn this around, if we can actually stop this juggernaut that is unfolding in front of us, because their power base is expanding by the day, and I believe our window is getting very small. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the one product in the world that is not having any more of it manufactured is time. All right, every day we're wasting our time, aren't we? And that's the thing. We can just look at it, and it's not me telling you this, it's you telling you this. How many hours a day do you think that you're doing that are just a waste of your time, that you're not actually accomplishing anything? Right, and how many of those hours could you convert into a couple of minutes of productive time to getting something done? All right, the world is ending, we're at war, and each moment that you delay, each moment that you waste, the enemy gets stronger, their foothold and their bastion gets more powerful, gets deeper. It sets into the minds of all of those people around you, because they don't have you telling them anything contrary. They're not seeing people in the streets. I mean, like 50% of Americans in a poll or something like that believe that 9/11 was either A, an inside job, or B, allowed to happen. But you didn't see people all over the country, 50% of people out on the streets or something like that, waving a sign around to tell them everybody that, right? It was just one article that was released one time that almost nobody heard about, and then just gets quietly swept under the rug. Things need to be made big, and they only get made big by the efforts of, I think, the listenership. Broadcasters like myself are in a secondary role. I think it's those people who are doing their own little thing in their own little way, in their own little town, against their own little scumbag representatives, that are the primary method of resistance that we have. I call it the tactic of the cactus. Cactus covers itself in spines from every direction. Therefore, when anybody plants a foot on it, they get a little prick to remind them. Don't tread here.
And if you do tread here, we're going to stomp on you with horses, which Prime Minister Trudeau, of course, did in the demonstration in Ottawa, one of the most peaceful demonstrations ever. And it was played out to be an insurrection with criminal activity and violence everywhere via our mainstream media, which, of course, is completely controlled by our government. That alone, when that Emergencies Act investigation was going on here, Vinny, I listened to the testimonies, and it's just absolute a sham. We're at a point now where the government can invoke an Emergencies Act with absolutely no justification for it all. And I listened to all the testimonies. But, of course, Trudeau put a liberal in charge, a liberal judge in charge of the final verdict, and he was found guilty of anything wrong in what he did, that he reached the parameters of what it took to invoke the Emergencies Act in Canada, which was only done twice before in our history, and it was actual emergencies, 1970 in the FLQ crisis and during the war. Outside of that, it is something reserved for an absolute national emergency, which the parameters were never met, and he went ahead and did it. You know that the vaccine passports for all the aircraft or air travel in Canada, this is a fact, Vinny, that he came out and told the Canadian public that Health Canada had strongly recommended that vaccine passports be a necessity to get on an airplane in Canada. Well, we found out later, a couple 6 months down the road, that that was absolute bullshit, that Health Canada never recommended masks or vaccine passports for aircraft travel. But Trudeau came out and put that to Canadian people and enforced that. And what he was doing was basically telling, he was punishing the Canadian people, because thousands of people didn't travel. They didn't get home for Christmas, couldn't go see a relative when they're dying in the hospital. That was one of the things he did, man, that just absolute should have people here screaming at the top of their voices. But I still hear crickets, Vinny, and I, that's something that really scares me. I get to a point where, you know, all this information's out there, and all a person has to do is go look at it, spend an hour on the internet, and if your blood isn't boiling at what this government's doing, then you really are brain dead, and you've got an IQ of 20. Some days I just don't know, Vinny. I don't want to throw in the towel, but it's almost to the point where you're going, hey, you know, we've been talking about this for years. You know, we're being vindicated. Everything that we've talked about, possibilities for what was going to happen in the future in society, it's all, we're being vindicated on that. Stuff that you've been talking about for years is now happening, yet society still seems to be in a state of slumber. I don't have the answer for that, do you?
Well, I mean, it's funny, the things that we've been talking about for so long that nobody listened to us saying are now happening, and they don't realize that because they never listened to us in the first place, and all we get is this.
True. Yeah. Well, we're being vindicated. I don't want to be vindicated, Vinny, but we are being vindicated right now because it's all coming down at us, and it's coming fast. I listen to some of the people in the world that I really respect for economics, or people like Gerald Celente and Peter Schiff and a few other people that I listen to, that really have a good grip on what's going on economically-wise and with the dollar, where the American dollar right now is its position as the world's reserve currency. I'm having people scream right now at the top of their lungs that we could be seeing a major event in the very near future. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's the time that they might just pull the plug on us because they have the ability to do that? What do you think? Have you heard much about that? Because I'm getting it every day now, Vinny. Well, and I'm not a fearmonger, but I'm hearing a lot right now.
Well, it's just
a lot of people
thinking about this. Over 100 years ago, a sequence of events happened. They had a plague of a Spanish flu, and they had a Banking Act transformation, creating the Federal Reserve. And they had a world war, and they had an economic depression. All right. Now, what are we going through right now? Is there a war going on all over the world currently? That war on terrorism still going on? Is like Iraq still occupied or anything like that? People don't even know. You know, there's a war in Ukraine going on. And we had a, what was it, financial crisis, 2008 financial crisis, I believe it was. And now we've got the plague, right? So it's just basically the same frickin' playbook that they go through.
Over and over again.
Because every time you get, I mean, for example, if they only pulled economic crises, all right, if there was an economic crisis every year, people would be up in arms. They'd do something about it. But if there's an economic crisis, and then there's a war, and then there's a plague, and then there's something else or whatever, you don't realize that it's all being caused by the same people that basically accomplishes the same end goal, which is a global totalitarian superstate. Now, that's the thing about pattern recognition. Humans like to think they're very good at it, and people who are conspiracy theorists think they're very clever because they've noticed something like this. And it's just like, no, you're not clever. The pattern's there, and you've recognized it. That's good. What's clever is figuring out how it happened and being able to do something about it, all right? It's the and doing something about it that's really the more important part here. And the vast majority of people are so sick, so tired, so stressed, so anxious, and so distracted and so well entertained that the notion of getting out there, sacrificing your own ass and your own money and your own reputation and your own freedom just so that a whole bunch of ungrateful, ignoramus people will have freedom and have no idea the sacrifices that were made to secure it for them. Okay? A lot of people won't want to do that for very good reason. It's not rewarding enough. But if you're not selfish and you don't like the idea of being a slave and getting exterminated, then you don't really have a choice. The difficulty is, so many people are not at that point of realization yet. Oh, I'm going to get enslaved and exterminated unless I do something about this. All right, better do something about this. You know, it's a simple realization, and it should occur to many people based upon all of the things that they've seen, but they don't, because it's not hammered into their head 1,000 times a day through 1,000 different media outlets, all telling them, coincidentally, the exact same thing.
Everything's fine. Don't worry about it, folks. Nothing to worry about. Don't look over here, because we got it under control. You're absolutely right. You know, if media, Vinny, if media actually did their job in Canada, or if media did their job around the world right now, this whole charade would have come to an end a long time ago. If people were actually given, even though people are complacent, even though people have gotten to be soft in our country, and I see that, and they don't seem to give a shit, but if the media really gave them the real information about what was coming for their loved ones and their children, because that really hits home with people outside of everything we talk about. When you start talking about their children, it hits another optic in their body. And when they came to the realization, or if they could come to the realization, that if they allow what's going on in our government to go on, that their children are going to be living in a Chinese state in the very, very, very near future. I don't believe we have even a generation to address this. I believe it has to be addressed now, because like you said, Vinny, the monster is growing. And he's gaining more power every day. They take a little here, they take a little there. Society doesn't really recognize it. But meanwhile, they've taken a mile behind your back. I really hope that this is the year that we can get enough people to stand up and realize what's at stake, that we start actually getting people involved. I'm starting to see that, Vinny, but we need to escalate it. I'm not seeing enough of it yet, but I am starting to see it.
Yeah, this reminds me of that scene from Land of the Lost, where Will Ferrell sits down and a mosquito kind of like jabs into his neck and starts drinking, and they turn away and they're not really looking, and this mosquito starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and Will Ferrell starts getting tired, he's like that kind of thing, and he falls over and squashes the mosquito behind him.
Oops.
It's just like, is that what society's doing right now? We're just getting our blood sucked so bad that we're so tired, and at some point we're going to have so much blood sucked that we're just going to pass out and then destroy ourselves, or kill whatever it was that was sucking us. You know, I don't know what the why that popped into my head, but I just thought it was funny.
Well, it's relevant for sure, but when you think about it, everything they've done to society, I mean, over the last, we'll just go like 30 or 40 years, what they've introduced to affect the human body. We could talk about so many things that they've done to turn us into the thickest people in the world. You know, in North America here, Vinny, this is a fact that we spend 10 times as much on healthcare as the next closest country in the world between Canada and the United States, yet we are now pretty well on top for every sickness known to man. We're number one in Alzheimer's. We're number two in cancer. Cognitive diseases, we are off the charts. Respiratory diseases, we're off the charts. Cancer now is growing at a rate never seen before. I don't know if you're aware of the cancer numbers, but I've gone and I've looked at them, Vinny, and anybody that thinks it's bullshit what we're talking about here, go look at these numbers. Go look at the American Cancer Society and look at the numbers for the last 12 months, 14 months since they started putting these vaccines in our body. We're seeing increases across the board approximately 400%. Some cancers higher, some lower, but on an average, 400% increase in cancer since the start of the GB jab. Tell me that's a coincidence. Just tell me that's a coincidence, Vinny.
Yeah, well,
unbelievable.
In New Zealand, the healthcare system, like, is leading causes of death. You know, number one, number two, and I think number two, number five, and number eight are caused by the Ministry of Health. You know, botched surgeries, people dying from medications that they're taking, medical misadventure stuff like that. And when you add up number 2, 5, and 8, they actually are bigger than the amount of people that get killed by number 1, which is cancer, incidentally. And that means that the medical system in New Zealand is more likely to kill you than any other factor. All right? Just... All right? Just...
Sorry for laughing. They're laughing. Go ahead, sorry.
I mean, they call it healthcare, you know, but whose health are they looking after? Are they looking after the health of the budgets of the pharmaceutical industry who own all the universities, right? Sponsor them all and then tell them that they can't teach nutrition to doctors. Doctors come out, they've never heard of an apple, you know. How are they going to heal you, man? They don't even know. All right. All they know how to do is prescribe, cut you, and irradiate you. All right. Now, if you give people three options, you're like, hey, man, I've got a slight cough. Oh, okay. Do you want me to irradiate you, cut you, or give you a dangerous drug? And they'll just be like, oh, let's go with the dangerous drug. Okay, sweet ass. Here you go. This one causes liver problems. And then you've got the general gist of why the medical industry is the leading cause of death, because the only thing that happens to you when you go there is they try to kill you. All right. In general, that's what we're dealing with here. If there's an illness, if it's something that could have happened on a battlefield, you know, you're shot, stabbed, or broke a leg going over a trench or something like that, they can patch you up right good and proper. Okay, because they know how to do that because of war. They studied during war how to patch people up from all of that stuff. It's the only reason why they know how to do that kind of stuff. Everything else, they have no idea how to treat it. They have no idea what it is. They think viruses are real. And a lot of you people out there might think viruses are real too. You ever seen one under a microscope? No, you diddly frickin' haven't. The only thing you've ever seen is holographic projections of some kind of digital AI-controlled frickin' crapola that's out there. All right? It has nothing to do with an organic life form that's out there in the air that goes into your body and then starts making you sick. Your own body creates that stuff when you're already sick, because then when you get sick, what do? You stop moving around, you start sleeping, you start drinking a bit more water, and your body recovers. It's its own detox cycle. That's how your body works. And if they've got a good fraud going, like viruses are real, or vaccines treat them. Look, vaccines didn't get rid of a single frickin' disease in the history of the world. Not one. Okay, have a look at all the statistics, ladies and gentlemen, if you please. And you go in, you're like, okay, when did scarlet fever disappear? Oh, it disappeared here. When was the vaccine for scarlet fever? Oh, yeah, that's right. They never made one. All right. When did polio start disappearing? Oh, it started disappearing over here. When did the polio vaccine come in? Well, right after polio was gone. And then what happened? Polio came back. All right. This thing, all of these diseases are what's called waterborne diseases. You know what that means? It means there is shit in the water and it gives you the disease. Okay? That's what it means. Did you ever hear of sanitation? No, you didn't. Of course not, because you've had it your whole life. That's why you don't got typhoid. All right? There's an old saying. It's a shit job, but somebody's got to do it. And the reason why people did plumbing back in the day so that you didn't have poop in the streets is because diseases like these breed in places like that. It makes your body sick. And so, as soon as you cleaned up all of that and had flush toilets and clean drinking water and everything, you no longer had any of these diseases. And then they immediately invent a vaccine right after that and claim credit for getting rid of the disease.
Yeah. Well, you know, Big Pharma is very, very careful that they don't kill you too quick, Denny, because they want to suck every dollar out of you possible until you actually do die. Right now, the number four, I believe it's number four, might even be as high as number three killer of people in the United States of America is drug interaction. But you never, ever hear that talked about, ever. And number six now is respiratory diseases. Well, imagine that. They've only been spraying crap in our atmosphere for how many years now, Billy or Vinny? It's just unbelievable that people watch themselves being sprayed by like rats every day with strontium, perineum, potassium iodide. There's five different components. And people go, they're not spraying it with stuff in the sky. Well, you know what? There's patents in place right now in the U.S. Patent Office for the chemical compounds they're using to spray in our atmosphere. Go look those up and tell me you want to be ingesting that into your body through your lungs and your food, in your everything that you are doing to your body comes from the sky. It sits into our earth. It gets into our soil. Our animals are eating it. We're breathing it in. And then you wonder why all this is happening in our society right now. It's a slow kill, but they don't want to kill you too quick because there's too much money to be made. It's got to be spread out over time.
That's right. Hey, doctor, I've got cancer. What have you got for me? Well, I've got a round of chemotherapy that's costs about $50,000. Oh, yeah? How likely is it to kill me? Well, 97% sure it'll kill you in 5 years. Well, how do you know that? Well, because the 3% of people it doesn't kill in 5 years are qualified as cured. If you haven't died of cancer within 5 years, then you're cured, even if they die 5 years and 1 day afterwards. So, you know, it's a beautiful scheme that we've got going on here, killing people by getting them to make the wrong choices, by giving them the wrong information. Imagine for a moment that the entirety of society and almost everything everybody knows is based on some kind of fraud, some kind of lie, some kind of deception. And then imagine that all of these people who know nothing but lies, fraud, and deception are now trying to find the truth, and how difficult that must be for them.
Well, yeah, their brains are screwed. You know, the old saying, you are what you eat, or you are what you put into your body, has never been truer, has it, Vinny? And when you're attacking the human body in so many different ways, which they are, through genetically modified foods, through our vaccination program, through our prescription drugs, through what they're spraying in our skies, what they're putting in our water, fluoridating our water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a massive attack on the human health. And when your body is scrambled, your brain is scrambled. They are kind of connected, aren't they? That's why we're seeing such a level of cognitive dissonance now in our society. One of the things I really noticed since they took these restrictions off in Canada here with this COVID scamdemic, over the last couple of years, Vinny, I have really seen people change, and not in a good way. I see people angry. I see people ready to explode. Observations I've made here in the last couple of years in society in general, and I've definitely seen a shift in the way people's brains think. Well, what are they actually putting into these vaccines or these jibby jabs? We actually don't know, do we, Vinny? We don't know all the components that they're putting into our body. But this here, I believe, is going to be one of the biggest and worst things to ever happen to the human race here going forward in the next couple of years, especially what we're seeing now with the numbers coming out of VAERS, the numbers we're seeing around the world. We know those numbers are only a fraction of what's actually happening. And of course, you know, right from the beginning, Trudeau got on that microphone and he told Canadians these things are safe and effective. We've heard that so many times since the start of this bullshit. But now they have a vaccine injury compensation board in Canada. And people go, what? I said, yeah, go look it up. Health Canada started it about 6-7 months ago. And so far, the claims are in the thousands. And they've actually settled the last time I looked here, Vinny, was last week. I looked at the numbers. They have settled for approximately $6.4 million now in Canada to people that have been vaxxed or damaged by the vaccine. And they have a total of 11,000 cases pending right now. And it's going up exponentially every day. But you're not hearing a word about that on the news, not being exposed to Canada, that this board actually exists now in Canada. Go look that one up. People ask me if they're safe and effective. Yeah. Go ahead, Vinny.
Probably like in the vaccine court in the United States, which got started up so that you couldn't sue any of the vaccine manufacturers for messing up your child, for example, if they had a bad reaction to a vaccine. So you had to sue at the vaccine court. And at the cost of the taxpayer, they'll compensate you even though it was the vaccine company that damaged you. And since the creation of the vaccine court, the level of autism in the general population in the United States has risen exponentially, so that by the time 2050 rolls around, nearly half of the population will be autistic, 80% of the boys.
Oh, unbelievable. You know what kind of burden that's going to be to people going forward in this world? They got to raise their children for their whole life, and when they die, the child will become part of the state. And, of course, it'll mysteriously disappear so they can harvest the organs of the body of that child. They really thought down the road. You're right about the numbers of autism, and you know what? If you take I've looked at this, and I know you have extensively, Vinny, take a graph of the amount of vaccines, the amount of prescription drug society's consuming as a general, and put it beside a graph of the rise in autism and tell me it's a coincidence. It's criminal what they're doing to our children, what they're doing with Ritalin. I looked at numbers of children that are on Ritalin right now in the United States of America. There's 8 million children on Ritalin right now as we speak in the United States of America. Every one of those child is going to be a major drug consumer for the rest of their lives. I'll tell you real quickly. I have a nephew, or niece, I should say, that was on Ritalin for about 6-7 years of her life. She is now a basket case. She can't function in society. She has on a permanent mental disability, can't hold down a job, and is just really messed up. I've read hundreds of reports about people after the after effects of Ritalin, and yet right now in the United States, there's 8 million children consuming this absolute craziness. Just an example of what they're doing going forward and how they're going to keep customers coming for the rest of their lives. And like I said, they'll suck every dollar out of you and then stab them and they'll kill you.
Yep.
Simple as that.
Speed.
So pretty sick world we live in.
I mean,
it really is.
Just imagine for a moment, you know, somebody says, oh, yeah, my son's on Ritalin. Hold on. You're giving your child speed. Yeah, it helps him concentrate, you know.
Yeah, give him a line of coke. Give him a line of coke. And, I'm rare to go.
You know, what could possibly go wrong? The giving speed and cocaine to children. You know,
this is before the blood barrier forms in their brain, Vinny. So it's really being affected. What was I just going? Oh, I was just going to bring a point up to you, and it slipped my mind. Go ahead and talk; it'll come back.
Yeah, I mean
that happens to me a lot now.
When I was a kid. Fart. I got given a pamphlet by my school guidance counselor, and it had all these attributes, you know, can't sit still, can't concentrate, highly creative, highly energetic, you know, all of those kind of stuff. And it was just like, you know, this sounds like me. I must have ADHD. But I didn't get diagnosed because I didn't really want to be, and I didn't take medication because I didn't really want to. Later on, so I went to university instead. And in business school, business 101, the exact same traits appeared on a slide. And they weren't describing somebody with ADHD. You know what they were describing? They were describing the personality traits of an entrepreneur. Okay? There's another one of my pet little conspiracy theories, is that entrepreneurs are dangerous for society. Because they think of stuff that nobody's ever thought of. And they go out and they do it better than anybody could. And it makes people who are dull, boring, uncreative, and control freaks look like the idiots that they actually are. Why don't we invent a mental illness for this? We'll call it something bad. And then we'll give people speed and cocaine to give to those young entrepreneurs so that they don't become a problem for us later on.
Perfect. Works like a dam. You know, hey, Vinny, when I was, I had to try Ritalin one time in my life. I had an opportunity to take one of those little blue pills, and I wanted to see what it did to my body. And I did. I took one of those little blue pills. And, you know, earlier in my life, I played around with some drugs. I'm not proud of that, but I did. And I know what cocaine does to the human body, the buzz you get off it and the high you get off it. Well, that Ritalin pill, almost identical to what I experienced when I played around with that a little earlier in my life. Like I said, it's not a time that I'm proud of, but I did. And I know what that stuff does to your body. And that little blue pill put me in the exact same space as 4 or 5 lines of cocaine. And you want to put that into the mind of a developing child. Sure, the child's going to settle down. But the after effects, the U.S. Army, here's a fact for you, Vinny. If you've done Ritalin for more than 2 years of your life, you cannot get into the U.S. Army. So what are they telling you? What do they know that we don't know? Go ahead.
Especially the pilot program where they keep a little pouch of methamphetamine in the cockpit of the fighter jet so that just in case, just in case you want to have a good time while you're flying, you know, you can... because that was the thing. Pervitin was the German variant during World War II. They gave it to the German pilots, you know, the English pilots are like, oh my goodness, how could these guys fly for so long? You know, and it's like, because we've got the Pervitin. That's right. You know, and they had a variant of that for the Japanese as well, you know, just like, oh my God, why are all these guys going so crazy and just like flying into our ships, man? They're just like kamikaze, you know, and just like, I wonder why they were so uppity, you know. All right, now let's give that stuff to children, okay? We tested it on pilots, it all worked out.
So, I mean, why don't we just add a massive dose of sodium fluoride, call it Agent Orange, and spray our troops with it and see what happens?
Oh, man.
Because that's what they did in Vietnam. And you know, Einstein, getting back to Ritalin, Einstein, his characteristic, Vinny, what you hit on is really important for people to understand, that if Einstein was alive today, the characteristics that he was displaying in school of fidgeting, always hyperactive, always wanting to do something, he would be... Boy, a strong candidate for Ritalin, and there would go Einstein. And what you said about them, the effect this is having on our future generations of their cognitive ability to actually rationalize what's going on around them, what a perfect way to screw them up 20 years down the road from now. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Vinny.
I remember Sir Ken Robinson was telling this story about a woman he met named Gillian. She did the choreography for Cats and met Andrew Lloyd Webber and that kind of thing. And when she was a little girl, the teacher said to her mother that she must be sick, you know, she can't stop moving, she's always moving around and stuff like that, she can't concentrate. And they took her to a doctor, and the doctor asked the mother a few questions, and he goes, Julian, we're going to go out with your mother, and I'm just going to speak to her privately. And as they left, he turned on the radio, and the mother said, well, what do you want to talk to me about? And he goes, shh, just watch, just listen. And before they could say Fat Sam, the little girl was up dancing to the music. And the doctor turns to the mother and says, Julian isn't sick. She's a dancer. Take her to a dance school. And Ken asked her, what happened? And she goes, well, it was the most amazing thing, sir. I went to this place and it was full of people like me, people who had to move to think. She brought pleasure to millions, and she's a multi-millionaire, and she started her own dance company. And if she'd been born today, somebody would have given her a pill and told her to calm down.
Good thing she's not alive today, Billy. Or Vinny, why do I keep calling you Billy? I'm sorry about that, Vinny. I keep thinking Billy TK is sitting in the room. My brain is getting old. My apologies. Anyways, what's going on in New Zealand right now as far as dance or drag queen story times? Do you have any of that crap going on down there?
Yeah.
Because it is completely out of control in Canada and the United States right now. What they're allowing to be done to our children right now, it's criminal. It's beyond criminal. It's insane, and it's very, very evil. They really are destroying the morality of our youth, Vinny, and that is one of my biggest pet peeves, what I see going on right now, why parents can't stand up to this bullshit, because that's what it is, total bullshit. They're grooming our children. Go ahead. What's going on down there?
Oh, man, you get called a transphobe, don't you? Yeah. Just be like, oh, I don't want to stop the trannies from freaking grooming my children and stuff like that. I'll get called a transphobe. where's your priority at, mate? Like, really? And I think that there should be a bunch more community outreach on this issue, because let's face facts here. Mental illness is a ubiquitous thing, all right? A lot of people got it, okay? And I think that, let's say, for example, I've got complex post-traumatic stress. When I see a threat or if I perceive a threat, I immediately go into fight or flight response. I don't think about it. I don't feel what it's like or anything. I just immediately go to attack or run, right? That's it. That's my mental illness. It's a problem, you know, because it's something that happened to me. What if you got sexually abused and your mental illness is you're attracted to the same sex now? Okay, think about that for a moment and think about how many people who are gay, lesbian, or transsexual or something like that who've been very badly abused as children. Okay, and you might have a reasonable assumption that what we're dealing with here is a child abuse epidemic that's manifesting itself later in adulthood, right? That we've got a lot of predators in this society. A listener sent me a map the other day of the, registered sex offenders that are living in Israel. And you know those little red tags that they've got, you know, if you like bring up head shops in frickin' Los Angeles County or something like that, and the whole frickin' place fills up, you know, it's like that, like as in the entire frickin' country is just covered in registered sex offenders. You know, try walking down the street at 5 o'clock in the morning after a late night out, ladies, by yourself, you know, this is a massive epidemic that we've got here. And because these people are so numerous, sexual predators and the like, and those people who've been abused by them, who are either predatory or not predatory, you know, I think that whatever your sexual orientation is or whatever, it really doesn't matter to me. Are you a rapist? No. Are you a murderer? No. Are you a thief? No. Are you a liar? No. Then I don't care. Be whatever the hell you want. Right? As long as you don't break the fundamental rules of society. Something bad happened to you, you're a little bit different, who cares? That's all right. That's your load to carry. You can get over it, or you can live with it, or do whatever, but don't make it everybody else's problem. Don't make everybody else have to tiptoe around you because you got hurt at some point in your life and now you don't want to ever have to deal with hurt ever again. You're alive. Pain is part of the deal.
Absolutely. You know, Vinny, we only got about a minute left here. This hour has gone by very, very quickly, and I really enjoy talking with you, and I'm going to let you share a few last thoughts before I let you go, but I hope I can get you back in the near future. We can continue this conversation because there's so many things that we didn't get to talk about today that I wanted to talk about. So thanks again for coming in, and your last thoughts, buddy.
Okay, well, I would like to people to go to change.org and have a look at the petition that is up there for myself and Billy T. Kane. It is called Justice for Billy T. Kane and Vinnie Eastwood. We want 20,000 signatures at the moment. We've got nearly 11,000. So please go to change.org and go to Justice for Billy T. Kane and Vinnie Eastwood and sign that petition and make donations to Billy at ibc.net.nz. You can reach Billy to find donations there. And you can donate to me at vinnieeastwood.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead. Make my news. You can follow me on YouTube, Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can follow me on Twitch, Vinnie Eastwood, and also Vinnie Eastwood Show on Facebook. And that's where we broadcast live when we do the show on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is Mondays 9 a.m. New Zealand Standard Time. Barry, you're a legend. Thank you so much for doing what you do for your country, bro. I'll do what I can for mine.
Well, Vinny, like I said, I much appreciate you coming in, and you keep doing what you're doing, and I hope one day we get to shake hands.
Yeah, wouldn't that be the day, man?
Wouldn't that be a nice day? Okay, my friend, I'll let you go, and I'll have you back in. I hope you oblige me here in the near future, and we'll do this again.
All right. Cheers, brother. Thank you so much.
Bye for now. Okay, folks, I'm going to be back in about 4 minutes with Luca Mangio. Luca's an interesting guy, and he's got some really cool stuff to talk about today. I haven't been on the air with him for a couple of years, so I'm looking forward to this conversation. I'll be back in about 4 minutes from now.